Title today's word, Lies We've Been Told. Lies We've Been Told. I want to start in the Old Testament in 1 Kings, chapter 13, verse 18. And it says there, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, that the old prophet answered, I am a prophet too, just as you are. And an angel gave me this command from the Lord. Bring him home with you so he can have something to eat and drink. But the old man was lying to him. The young prophet who had just given a word, an unction, came to him from the Lord. And he'd just given a word to King. And he'd just done that. And this prophet met him on his way back home. And nevertheless, he regarded what the old prophet said as opposed to what the Lord had told him, and it cost him his life, the young prophet. He'd gotten up the next morning, and a lion met him on the way home, killed him. And the old prophet had actually had the body of the young prophet brought back and buried in a tomb. And he said, when I die, bury my bones right beside this young prophet's bones. The young prophet failed in his obedience to the Lord. Here's the word that says it. 1 Kings 13, 7 through 9. Then the king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh himself. He had just given him the prophecy he was supposed to give him. The king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. But the man of God said to the king, if you were to give me half your house, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall not eat bread nor drink water nor return by the same way you came. It was easier for the prophet to refuse a king, the king of Israel. Because see, he'd been sent to the king. He knew the king was off. King was not doing what he was supposed to do. And so he gave that word, and that took a lot of faith and a lot of strength. He stayed true to the word of God. But when the old prophet answered, I'm a prophet too, just as you are, and an angel gave me this command from the Lord, bring him home with you so you can give him something to eat and drink, that the old man was lying to him, he believed the old prophet. I believe the old prophet was apostate. He was still living off the former anointing that the God had given him in his earlier years. But over the years, you know how life can be. We can get drawn away by things that happen in life. And so the old man lied to him. And the young prophet followed him. And it cost him his life. Does that seem unfair? That the young man would come to the prophet? He knew he was a prophet. And he told him, he said, I've heard from an angel today. And you're to come home with me and eat with me. And he was lying to him. Doesn't that seem unfair? It does. But you know what? Lies are never fair. Their very purpose are to deceive. That's what lies are for. They're sent to deceive. They always have a purpose when they're said. When someone lies, they always have a purpose behind what they say. They have an objective for why they're saying what they're saying. The idea is that they're clouding a truth that just kind of disappears. They're almost always wrapped up in packages that seem reasonable. The prophet seemed reasonable that he'd have a word from the Lord, didn't he? Yeah. They generally appeal to some need we think we have. And they're usually just what we want to hear. It may be a physical need, such as food or rest, or a mental thought that we have, a desire. There's a reason we listen to the lie to begin with, isn't there? Yeah. They're just not glaring in unpleasantness. I would say this, they don't smell to us when they're said. And here's the big one, guys. We usually do not and expect this person to lie. They're coming from a source. Just like we can tell our kids about ice cream, our kids would never think that we were lying to them. What we're saying to them is an untruth, because they trust their parents. Just like the young prophet trusted the old prophet, that he would never lie to him. Listen to this example. 1 Kings, the 22nd chapter, verses 20 through 22. I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version here. And the Lord said, verse 20, and the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up? God's trying to persuade Ahab to go to war. Ahab's not been a good king. It's time for him to leave. The Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up, that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, and another spoke in that manner. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. Amazing scripture. Do you believe this really happened? This really happened. Ahab was considering whether to go to war. It absolutely happened. Can it happen today? Yes, it can happen today, just the way it did here. Another person can come to us and lie in the name of God, not in the name of Jesus or of the Lord God, but of a God, and say, I've heard this word. You're to go here. This portion of Scripture just, it's amazing. It pulls back a veil to what can happen in heaven. Here's the Lord God, and he's got, and it says it's a spirit. It doesn't say it's an evil spirit. It doesn't say he's necessarily a deceiver, but he says, I'll go be a lying spirit. We often go to Job in the Old Testament to see what goes on behind the veil, and he speaks about how, you know, Satan came to him. But here it is in Kings. And these kings always had, what did he have? Soothsayers. He had seers. He had prophets, whether they were prophets of the Lord. He had fortune tellers, magicians, astrologers. And they all served at his pleasure. And whenever he was trying to consider whether he should go to war or make any big decision, he would bring them in and see what they would have to say. And so he had all his false prophets and everyone there. And I'm sure all his Ahab's prophets, who none of them were prophets of the Lord God, he had them before him and they were all prophesying. I'm sure they were really excited to have a supernatural spirit come and move in their midst. Because I'm sure many times when they prophesied for King Ahab, they were prophesied out of their own spirit. But this time, they actually had a spirit come and enable him. So it was a supernatural event. And so it seemed so real. So real. And they prevailed. And he prevailed. Jeremiah wrote this in Lamentations. Listen to his words. Lamentations, the 2nd chapter, verse 14. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not uncovered your iniquity. Well, there's obviously something prophets are supposed to do. They're supposed to uncover iniquity. They have not uncovered your iniquity to bring back your captives, but have envisioned for you false prophecies and delusions. Truth is, guys, truth is, lying prophets were not and are not uncommon. They are not. The whole world is full. The whole world is full of deception. That's where it comes from. Here's the truth. Truth tellers are rare gems, if you find one. Truth tellers are the rare gems, and they are to be embraced, and the prophets or false prophets are supposed are just really common, and they are supposed to expose sin and not cause one to go into sin. And we have just the opposite going on here. John wrote this in his epistle, first epistle, 1 John 4:1. Come on, Wire, stay behind me. 1 John 4:1, New Living Translation, says this: Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. John knew it. It's common. And I would tell you this, many times when people open their mouths and they are speaking from a spirit's influence. Difficult, isn't it? To think that this is going on behind the scenes, that this is going on in our lives all the time, but it's truth. John warns us to be vigilant in our spiritual discernment of what spirit people are speaking from. We need to make sure the words that we are speaking are from Holy Spirit, that we're speaking good, honest words. Jesus had a time where he responded to the scribes and the Pharisees because they were always speaking from a spirit. They were speaking from a spirit when they said, "We are the children of Abraham. That's why we're going to heaven." Isn't that what they said? John 8, the 8th chapter in the Gospel of John 8:44. "You are of your father the devil." Man, what a word. You. I don't know that I'd have the chutzpah to do that. "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." You know, we read that and we just kind of shoo right over it, because we don't realize that Jesus was talking to the church that day, the existing church, the ones who are supposed to be the guides to all the lost, how to find heaven, how to get in the kingdom of heaven, and they were telling them lies. So where did all these lies begin? Where did they come from, guys? Genesis, the 3rd chapter. You knew I'd have to go here, didn't you? In the 4th verse. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will surely not die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Now listen in the next verse how Eve justifies what she does. Verse 6. "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food," it's good to eat, "that it was pleasant to the eyes," it's good to look at, "and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate." You will be like God. Certainly appeals to our ego, doesn't it? And what was this new revelation that he was talking about? Knowing the difference between good and evil. She didn't know this. Adam didn't know this. This was a new revelation. Isn't spiritual knowledge good to have, to know the difference between good and evil? What's that? Good food appeals to everyone who's hungry, and it appeals to the eyes because it's attractive. Who doesn't want wisdom? And he started right out by telling her, there's no consequence. She said, there's no dying. There's no consequence if you eat from the tree. The deceiver introduced lying in the Garden of Eden, right here. And he introduced it to mankind in the most powerful way that was so subtle. It was easy, it seemed, to receive it. It was something that seemed like it was promoting growth, spiritual growth. And it was so easy to receive. And lying became a part of life. We don't know how long Adam and Eve lived in the garden up to this point. I mean, their lives were eternal at that point, weren't there? There was no dying yet in the garden. Sin hadn't been introduced. So Scripture, Bible, doesn't really say how long they'd been there. Who knows? Years and years and years. Just don't know. But from that point on, the floodgates were open. Genesis, the third chapter, verses 12 and 13. Then the man said, been doing this ever since, haven't we, guys? The woman whom you gave to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Not my fault. Yeah, not my fault. You gave her to me. So really, while it may not be just her fault, it's your fault. Amen in the back from a woman. And the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, it's the serpent deceived me and I ate. Not my fault. He deceived me. Deceitful at the very least. And then Genesis 4:9. Then the Lord said to Cain, where's Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? Boy, there's an outright lie. So truth became rare. Eve believed the deceiver. Adam believed it was her fault. And Cain believed it wasn't a problem. You know, we can always justify our actions, can't we, when we do something like that? It's so easy. You know, that's what she was doing. That's what he was doing, justifying our actions, his beliefs and his minds. The enemy, he'll help us. He'll tell us what to believe. He'll give us all kinds of words to justify why we'd tell our kids they can't have the good ice cream. Lies and deceptions escalated from here. The serpent deceived me and I ate. Spirit of deception. The old prophet deceived the young prophet. The old prophet answered, I am a prophet too. Yeah, that's probably not a lie. He was a prophet anyway. Just as you are. No, not anymore. And an angel gave me this command from the Lord. Now there's a lie. Bring him home with you so he can have something to eat and drink. But the old man was lying to him. Just so with King Ahab, spirit of deception. The Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him. So you can have, he can have. And you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. New Testament believers, guys, we have such an advantage today. You and I do. We have Holy Spirit. God sent the Spirit of truth to every one of us. John, the 16th chapter, verse 13, says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, hallelujah, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Boy, we really need an increase in awareness of the presence of the Spirit of Truth today, more than ever. You see, truth sets us free, doesn't it? What's it set us free from? It sets us free from being deceived, for we know the truth. Acts, the second chapter, verses 38 and 39. We're going to look at the New Living Translation. And Peter replied, "Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and to your children and even to us." Oh, I meant Gentiles. Even to the Gentiles. All who have been called by the Lord our God. It's a new day, guys. It's a new day. Have you repented of your sins? Have you turned to God? Turned away from the lies? Have you been baptized? That's what it says. Then you have Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth in you. You are a supernatural being. Did you ever think about that? You have received Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's not a natural spirit. It's not a natural life force. He's a supernatural life force. And that supernatural life force is now living in you, which makes you a supernatural life force. So what have you heard? What kind of words have you heard in your life? What have you heard? What did John say? 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Then he said in the 6th verse, New Living Translation, "But we belong to God, and those who know God listen to us. If they did not belong to God, they do not listen to us. This is how we know if someone has the Spirit of Truth or the spirit of deception." Ever share something about Jesus with somebody and they don't listen to you? There's why. Same devil, same MO, same method of operation. No new tricks. That's the good news about him. Lies through deception. Called the spirit of deception. And I'll say this, without Holy Spirit, we will be deceived. Amazing. We will be lied to and led to a place we don't even want to go. We can be lied to and led to a place we don't want to go if we don't listen to Holy Spirit. We have no way of seeing through the deceiver's deception without him interpreting for us. We have to have Holy Spirit. You see, there is a gift that he gives that most Christians, I'd say, in today's world, kind of just gloss over and they don't look at or desire. 1 Corinthians 12 chapter, verses 7 through 10, going to be reading about the gifts of the Spirit. Verse 7, Paul said, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." It's given for everyone's profit. "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit." All so desirable, right? All those gifts, so wonderful. "To another, working of miracles." Oh, yes, I'll take that one. "To another, prophecy." Oh, yeah, Lord, I'll take that one. And then he said, "To another, discerning of spirits. And to another, interpretation of tongues." Have you ever heard anyone pray and ask for these gifts? I certainly have. I think most Christians would ask for these gifts. Yeah, Lord, I really want them. Verse 11 and 1 Corinthians 12, New Living Translation, it says this. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. He alone, Holy Spirit, decides. But I would tell you this, there's absolutely nothing wrong with asking. It doesn't say don't ask. We can certainly ask for them. Yeah. But I'll tell you, I don't believe I've ever heard anyone ever ask for the gift of discerning of spirits. I've even said in the past myself that, you know, I just really don't want a ministry of casting out demons. You know, not my style. You know, not. But that's not what this is. It's not. This is the gift of what? Discernment. So that when we hear a word, we know where it's coming from. It's the gift of knowing the truth or knowing it's evil. The gift of discernment. This may be the most important gift Holy Spirit gives. To know truth. Is there a lot of false prophets out there today? Oh, baby. Oh, they don't call themselves prophets anymore. They call them all kinds of other things. That's just not, you know, not done anymore. Presidents don't have prophets and seers and astrologers. Oh, wait a minute, maybe they do. We just don't know about it. They just don't make a deal out of it. They hide it. Oh, they listen. But see, if you don't have a prophet from who? From the Lord God, who is a born-again, spirit-filled prophet, you can get really deceptive words. Oh, they'll tell you something, and it can come to pass, but it's led you right down the evil path. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 11th chapter. He wrote this to the church at Corinth. So he's speaking to believers. Verse 4. You happily put up, this is New Living Translation, you happily put up with what anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received. Or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. He's speaking to the church, guys. Let's read that again. You happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preach, or a different kind of spirit than the one you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believe. Paul put everything he had, all of his ministry, all of his work, all the spiritual unction he could, and trying to tell the Corinthians, you've been listening to the doctrine of devils. Maybe some of you have heard some of these kinds of words in the past. Well, you're not going to be able to overcome this one, you're always going to fail. Heard some of that? Or be quiet, don't sing, you know. Don't worship. Your voice isn't good enough, really. If you do sing, you might be off just a little bit, sing off note. Somebody might hear you. You think the evil one wants people to worship God, to sing and to worship? I don't think so. Or have you heard this one? Oh, I'm really not good enough for God. I've done so many things, I'm just never going to be. It's not about what you've done. It's about the blood of Christ. I'm missing something, you know. I'm just missing something here. Look at all these other people. They're getting blessed and they're receiving from God. So there's just something wrong with me. You know, it's my fault. There's something wrong with me. Yeah, there is. If you haven't accepted Christ, You have to have his blood cleansing and covering all that's wrong with us to cleanse us from unrighteousness, to set us on the right path that we might receive Holy Spirit so that we can hear what the truth is. And the truth is, when you've accepted him, you're a child of the living God. You're put here for a purpose, to honor and glorify him, to speak the words that bring glory and honor to Jesus Christ, to be a vessel of use for the kingdom of God, so that you can speak good things to others, that you can lead others into light and to truth, so that we can be part of the kingdom, so that he can minister to others through us. It's our purpose for being here. It's why we're here. We're to enjoy this life. There's no joy like the joy of sharing Jesus with somebody. There's no joy like the joy of sharing Jesus with someone. And you can't go tag somebody with the gospel right out of the cold. You know, I'm a big believer in relationship evangelism, if you will. Anyway. Anybody heard this? You know what? I'm never going to grow without a great big manifestation from the Lord. You know, I can't grow anymore until I heal somebody. You know, I lay hands on them, they get healed. Or I speak a miracle, a prophecy to someone and they get it. Or, guys, that's a lie. That's a lie. Have you ever considered John the Baptist? Have you ever thought about the miracles he did? Oh, he didn't do any. The only miracle he did is he spoke the truth. He was a prophet. Miracles, healings, look through the scripture. It's not there. And yet what did Jesus say about John? There's been nobody greater than John. Don't think manifestations, big manifestations, make big spiritual growth. Oh, we're to expect them, we're to do them, but they're not necessarily tied together with a short rope. Anyway. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he's no respecter of persons? Let me ask you this. Let's say it this way. Do you believe I hear from Holy Spirit? Yes. Probably most of you do. Some of you probably wonder what I hear. But do you believe I might hear from somebody, other spirit, sometimes? That I could be possible. So why in the world would any one of you ever think that you don't? Why? Why would you? He's no respecter of persons. You're a supernatural being. That's why you were created. You were created for fellowship with God. To hear what he says and to be about his business. That's why you're here. Looking for purpose in life, you just heard it. So true, isn't it? Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes how? By hearing. Not lies, truth. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And to every man is given what? A measure of faith. You've been given. And we absolutely, desperately need the discerning of spirits. Listen, the reason I think we can ask for it is because in Matthew, the 7th chapter, Jesus talks about how the Father will never give a bad gift. If we ask, he'll only give us what? Holy Spirit, a good gift. So if we ask this morning, and we have every perfect right to, any of you parents ever turn your kid away when they ask for a good gift? I don't think so. They might have to ask two or three times, but so do we, don't we? Strange how that works.
Very good.
Let's do that this morning. What do you say? Want to join with me in doing that? So let's come to the Father. He gave us a name to come to Him in, so we come to Him in the name of Jesus, the Savior, the Healer, the Baptizer in the Holy Spirit, the infilling of Holy Spirit. And we ask for a good gift this morning, Father, maybe the best gift, that we would receive the discerning of spirits, that we would know when truth is spoken, that we know when lies are spoken, that we would know when somebody is trying to deceive us. So we thank You for it, Father. I thank You that Holy Spirit has come and that You're no respecter of person, but You'll give it to each one, this wonderful gift, the precious gift, the anointing that flows from the kingdom of God, Holy Spirit. Every soul here, we ask for it in Jesus' name, that we might bring glory to the kingdom of heaven. Glory to You, Father. Glory. Thank You, Jesus. And I would be amiss this morning if I didn't address some of those who might listen in. You know, some of you may not have turned and ask Jesus into your heart. This is a wonderful opportunity because I really feel He's here. And there's just no distance in God's Spirit. So Father, I speak to anyone who might have been touched in their heart that they need Jesus Christ in their heart this morning. Ask Him in. Jesus, come in. I ask, Father, that You'd forgive me of my sins. Just tell Him out loud wherever you are. Forgive me of my sins. And Father, I ask that You would fill me with Holy Spirit. Come and fill me this morning. Change my life that I would start to tell truth. No longer be a deceiver. No longer be influenced by the evil one, but be influenced by Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. And do my life in a way of truth as it is in the kingdom of heaven, right here on earth, Lord, my days from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.